Let's just pray before we get into the word. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you never stop. Full stop. He just never stops. You're constant. You're consistent in every way, Lord. And we just thank you that we are recipients of that love. We don't only believe it, Lord. We receive it. Liberators by your love, O God. Healers by your love. Free us up by your love, O God. Set us up, Father, for the future you have for us by your love, O God. Bless Chris and Sheila this morning in Africa, Lord. Pour out your love, Father God. Bless your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a few minutes to look at, last time I was here and I spoke about the ecclesia, the called out ones of God. The word ecclesia is where you see in the Bible, in the New Testament, I think it's 126 times you see the word church. The Greek word which the Old Testament was translated the Old Testament into, the Greek word is ecclesia, which means the called out ones. You will see it when Jesus says, "I will build my church," that we read in Matthew, that you will see in its original in the Greek language that it says, "I will build my ecclesia." And what is the difference between the ecclesia and even what we know as church? See, we would say this morning, this filters into our everyday life, "I'm going to church." No, you are the church. And the church is coming together in a building that, you know, through political intrigue and religious scheming and scamming that over the centuries that we've made the church the building, the structure, the organization, the denomination, the way, the set of beliefs that if we don't toe the line, you're no longer belonging to a certain church or denomination. That is not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible is talking about the ecclesia, those who are called out of darkness, called out in the Old Testament, Exodus 1, chapter 8, verse 1, God says to Moses, "Go in and tell that Pharaoh to let my people go." And what he was called, why? Because he says, "I want them to come out to the wilderness to worship me." So God was calling them out. He was calling them out of and to something, to himself. He was calling them onto himself to worship. That's the church. That's the ecclesia. That's the true ones who are filled, who know God, who want God, not what we subscribe to as some type of religion. And God is still looking for Moses. People like Moses to go into Egypt and say, "Hey, do you want to be part of the ecclesia?" And I even believe that God is calling some of the ecclesia to go to the church and say, "Hey, you're part of something bigger and greater and more beautiful and glorious than what we're settling for." And I think that day is upon us. I think there's a group of people all over the world that are saying, "I don't want just what we see because I know there's more." There is more, because he always has more. He's the God of the abundance that we will never, ever, 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 ever in all eternity be able to put him into a little box. And if you want to listen to more about that, just look up on the website where there's some there, and Rob has continued. And this morning, Phil, just to continue on that in the ecclesia, some things to remind us of. Everybody has a part to play in the ecclesia. Everyone is called to something in the kingdom. Everyone has a part to play in the planned purposes of God for him to display his glory. We see illustrations of this by Paul. Paul says that although there's one loaf, it's made up of many parts. That we are one loaf. Give someone a loaf. No, I'm only messing. There's one loaf, but it's made up of many, many different parts. Paul describes us again as a body made up of many different parts, but we make the whole. That together we are an individual, but together we are making up the body of Christ, helping it to function. But my favorite illustration of this in the Bible is again out of Exodus. Exodus 26, right up to 40. You'll see when they came out into the wilderness, God told Moses up on the mountain to build a tabernacle. And you remember, they would have to assemble the tabernacle and then dismantle the tabernacle when the cloud would go. They would have to pull everything down. And then where the cloud would stop the presence of God, they would also have to erect it. Now, when you read through the detail of God's designing of his house, of his tabernacle, where his glory would land on earth and be manifest on earth, in the shape of a structure, he tells them the diameters of the rings that would hold the curtains, the color of the curtains, the shape of the curtains, where they would hang, the tables that was in the... I mean, God is an amazing interior designer, isn't he? When you think of it, and he says to Moses, do it as I designed it. Now you think, oh Lord, you won't notice a few old hoops missing here or there, or we got the color wrong. God is particular about, we understand what he wants, and we do what he says. Because if not, it's my design. If not, it's my idea. But God says, I will manifest my glory through my design and through my idea. Now, when you read it yourself, there is jobs in all manners to set up the tabernacle. There's people to set up the beams. There's people to set up the curtains. There's people to put the hoops on. There was a job for everybody. That's what I'm trying to say. In the ecclesia, there was a job for everybody. There was nobody that was says, no, look, there's nothing for you to do because you are not really, you haven't got all the skill basis that we need, or you haven't got all the ideas that we want. You just don't matter. There was none of that in the ecclesia. There was none of that in the called out ones. God wanted to call them out to set up a structure for one reason, so that his glory would be manifested on earth. And in Moses, in Exodus chapter 40, I believe it is, that he sets everything up as the Lord commanded. You read it as the Lord commanded. He set everything up. And then the glory of God came. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine what I see, like maybe someone on the movies trying to describe or picture or put into some type of film what the glory of God could do or would look like. But if you've seen it in any movies, it's always this like pure fire that is radiant with energy and all types of just raw like energy. And you see it coming down from the sky, the clouds opening up. Do you ever see it? Any of it? Yeah? Just making sure. And then it pours down into this tabernacle, into this space that all the ecclesia put together. Again, many parts coming together as one unit for one purpose, the planned purpose of God to be manifest in that place. You're the tabernacle. You're the tabernacle. You are the place that God comes and dwell. We together are the place that God comes and dwell. So in all of that imagining of the glory of God coming into that tabernacle, greater glory in some ways came into us. That it wasn't like Moses, what he's seen and faded away. Ours is continuous. The glory of God wants to be manifest on earth. And with the glory of why God wants to display this through blessing you, so that you and I could be a blessing to other people. Is that not what moved your heart? Is that not what moved your heart that time, Mags, when Chris said about the window? That us being blessed, we're able to go over to another country and bless. What is it doing? Displaying the glory of God to other people. The manifest glory of God through the tabernacle, the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ. But we know this, that we know that there's great blessing for the ecclesia. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. That in part being part of the ecclesia, there's great blessing, and we need to know the blessing. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But what comes with great blessing is also great battles. Sometimes we only talk about the blessing, and then somebody's sitting in church going, do you know where I'm going through? I don't feel blessed. I don't feel I have every blessing in Christ Jesus. All I seem to be facing is devils, demons, and monsters, and all types of things. Are you with me? It's a dual thing. There's blessing and there's battles. Listen to the way again, Paul says, we're blessing every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us in the same book, Ephesians, in chapter 6, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil, for their battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the world's powers and darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. That there's this duality going on of that we are blessed. And until we learn to how to activate and walk in those blessings, we will only be concentrated on being battered in the war. We're called by God to walk in the blessing. And yet we face challenges of discouragement and opposition and heartache. But the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, are called to carry out the blessing of Almighty God upon their lives to give it away to others, and it will travel right down our lineage. And if we do not know that we are blessed with everything we need, as Paul declares over our lives, we will always look to this world, the systems of this world. We will look to pleasures and lusts to compensate for the lack of understanding that we are blessed. There is always a battle for the blessing of the ecclesia. Always. That's why Paul says stand firm, because there's a battle to rob what is yours. And Rob said something earlier on, or when Gary prayed, I thought, what a great prayer, Gary. And it was like, yeah, we stand in the promise of God that we are accepted back. That's already being paid for. It says this in chapter 40 of Exodus, that when Moses done everything the Lord had commanded, the glory came. When everything was finished, the glory of God could come now on earth. It's finished. Jesus paid the price for every sin. But there's another part of that where what the enemy has robbed on us, we can have authority. We have authority in Jesus to go back in and take that which has been robbed on us. That we are blessed to go into the battle, to take back the blessings that we see. The enemy can't touch our salvation. But he'll do everything to rob your blessing. He'll do everything to rob our inheritance. Just look at the Old Testament. He'll put things in our way to attract us, to distract us away from fulfilling the blessing of God. And we see it when Isaac was blessing, when blessing Jacob and Esau. Do you remember? He says to Isaac, I said to Jacob, so Jacob, you're gonna rule, you're gonna dominate Esau's lineage, or Esau, you're gonna walk on the land, you're gonna be subject to your brother. And what did Esau plot to kill Jacob? There's always a battle for the blessing. There's always a struggle against you and me. That's what Paul says. We don't struggle against flesh. There's always a struggle. And there's times we walk in great peace and great favor, and then there's an enemy that wants to come in and plot and scheme against the plans and purposes of God to display his glory through your and my life. Jacob wasn't just receiving, as the first blessed, he wasn't just receiving a double portion of wealth or land or cattle or anything else. He was also receiving a spiritual promise that was being passed down from one generation, from Abraham right down through the lineage until the Messiah comes, all the way down. The battle, sometimes we think is for our marriage or our motor car or something. The enemy's plan is to rob us of the call of God on our lives. So we will have losses and pains during this life. But they're temporarily compared to the glory that is ours. And the enemy wants, he comes in all different manners to plot and to scheme, just like Esau, to rob the call of your life because you carry a blessing that maybe we put up with the battles, maybe we put up with the injuries, maybe we put up with the heartache and the pains, but the passing on of the spiritual lineage to our children and their children and their children is incredibly glorious. Someone may have to take a brunt for some of this, pushing against the darkness. But if we look to our tomorrows, and say, no, there's more to this. There's more than my life. There was always a battle for the call on your life. The battle and the blessing continues right from Jacob and Esau. And it didn't only stop there. It says this, that Esau, you're going to be dominated by Jacob's lineage. And beware when you look in the Old Testament. Esau's family or lineage became the Edomites, the nation of Edom. And then you come all the way down, Jacob's children and Jacob's descendants and Esau's descendants. You come all the way down there and you land during the time of the Roman Empire. And there was a switch, there's something happened that an Edomite which were now known as Idumeans. 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 That's what Esau's lineage became known as, the Idumeans. And an Idumean became a ruler during the Roman Empire, which meant that an Idumean, someone from Esau, an Edomite, was now over Jacob's lineage. He was called Herod. He was a king who was dominating the seed of Jacob. But another king came along. The one that the blessing of the whole world was going to come through. And what did Esau's lineage try to do with Jesus? What did Herod try to do? Was to rob, to steal, to destroy the blessing that was for many. That some of us face battles and we're saying, I didn't sign up for this. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, you came into the blessings of Jesus and you also came into a war zone. When we know it, now we're not going to get whacked from behind and go, hey, I didn't realize there was a battle in all of this. Some of us are walking around like, wow, this is amazing. You don't realize that there's a plot, a scheme, a scam against, not against your salvation. It's secure, it's finished. But against the plans and the purposes of God. Why did I say that about all of this Esau and Jacob and Herod and Jesus? Why did I say that about blessing there's a battle? Because it's crucially important to believe that we are blessed in every possible way. Because if we don't believe it, we can't receive it. If we don't believe it, we can't activate the access route to what is really ours. If we don't believe it, we can't receive the blessing of God if we don't believe it's there. And if we don't believe it's there, we don't understand that everything is ours in Christ Jesus, without that we will spend our whole life running after the things that we already have. But faith activates the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. If we don't understand that the blessing of God is in our life, that, like, take peace for instance, if we don't know that if we don't believe and receive that we are already blessed with the peace that surpasses all understanding, we will go to places, spaces, and faces to find the peace that is already ours. Have you ever been there? This week? That if I'm not understanding that it's mine and I don't access it by faith, because everywhere you read, faith is grace is released. We are saved by faith through grace. When faith is activated, grace that is needed for salvation, it's there. But faith, believing that God said it and it's true, helps us access salvation and everything else. But if we don't know, we will run to this world. And this world is a cruel master. If you give this world system an inch, it will become our ruler. It is cruel. It will offer you heaven and give you hell. It will offer us peace where it ends up in a chaotic life. Whatever you or I didn't receive in this world no longer matters. What matters now is what we receive from God's blessing, which is your birthright in Christ Jesus. Can I just name some of them? Our birthright. Salvation, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, our birthright, acceptance, forgiveness, peace, joy, hope, provision, protection, purpose, relationship, blessings, all things turn into the good. Our inheritance is love, constant connection, refreshing, fullness of the Holy Spirit, an open door to the throne room of God, healing, freedom, peace of mind, holiness, righteousness, the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the yes and amen of God for every one of his promises, answered prayer, new life, open doors, breakthrough, blessings to me and to my generations. Now I can read all them, sing about all them, or else I can start activating them by faith. Because faith is the only thing that will cause us to access what's invisible to this world. I pray today that we stop striving. Our God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will stop us in our striving and tell us, son, this is yours. Daughter, this is yours. Focus. Use your strength and your energy and your doings and your knowings to focus on what is already ours by call, by birthright. Every one of those things, when we read it, it's there. God says, go in and take. There's the promised land, it's yours. But what do they have to do? go in and take it. Salvation is free for all, but it has to be taken hold of. Am I making sense? This is the call of the ecclesia. What I haven't got, Father, here I am. I feel cruel. I feel rubbish. I don't feel I've measured up in my own doings and knowings. But Lord, I am a child of God. Listen to faith. I am cleansed by the blood. There's nothing that will be ever held against me in the courts of heaven. That I am blessed. That I am loved, I am accepted, that you have a planned purpose to show your glory to this world. That is my life. Now you walk out with that every day. And I walk out when, Lord, I feel that my head is in turmoil. But this is what your word says. Listen to faith activating the grace of peace. Lord, my head is melted. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. Well, stop striving, Noel, to find it. Because if I don't stop striving, I'm going to find it in places, spaces, and faces that it's outside of God. But when I step into that place and I start activating by faith, grace is released. Was it not released when we were singing them songs? Even if you were hard and crusty around the heart or your head was melted, you couldn't help but hear, God loves us. He's coming after us. Yeah, he's kicked down walls and pulled down lions. Why? Because he loves us. And if that didn't move you or light your fire, your wood is wet. You're dead. If that didn't move, I'm telling you, there's something dead in you. But God is the God of the resurrection. It's part of our inheritance. Whatever is dead, he'll breathe on and bring to life. And he won't let you go. And he won't stop. He'll cause rainbows to appear to tell you he loves you. He would send a donkey if he has to. He will cause stones to scream out of the ground. Do you know why he leaves the 99? Goes after you and me because he wants the ecclesia all together. He wants the ecclesia, the full 100, the full called out ones, the ones that he's their shepherd. And here's the thing, finishing up at 1:05, that God is, not only God is calling, but our tomorrow is calling us. Hello? This is tomorrow. When you make the decisions today, because they're going to, the decisions in God today, because they're going to affect your tomorrows. What I sow in the seed today is going to affect me 10 years down the road. Can affect my children. Look at the way things go wrong in this world. Look at it in the negative. Now, I make a decision and there goes a lot of things. A lot of people affected, a lot of people hurt. But my tomorrow is calling me to stay in God, stay part of the ecclesia, believe God, activate by faith the grace of God that is ours. And make decisions out of that place, Noel, and you'll be blessed in 10 years. Your children will be blessed. Countries will be blessed. Children will be blessed to have no parents. People around you will be blessed. Your children will be a blessing. They will be blessed. They will be blessed. That tomorrow is calling us. Sometimes we give up like Esau. He gave up everything for a bowl of lentil stew. It's not even nice. I mean, if it was my ma's stew, I probably would have given up something. He gave up for the moment. It's tomorrow. God, deliver me, deliver us for giving up for momentary things our tomorrows. If I brought us up to Point Forest, everyone know where Point Forest is? Anyone know another forest in Ireland? Because I don't even know another forest. Point Forest is up by Hellfire Club, isn't it? If I brought us up there, and I says, I want us, is it possible to take the whole forest and move it down to Bray? You would say, absolutely no. It's not. But it is possible in another way. It's possible that if we would have gotten there at an early stage, or if you give me a bag, let me say it this way, if you give me a bag of seed, and I planted them and they took root, and I brought that bag of seed all the way down to Bray, I could actually grow a forest here in Bray. I couldn't move that forest, But if that forest in its earliest stages of seed could have been planted here, we would see a forest here. Is that right? That is right, isn't it? It would take time, energy. I've met a man before. How would you ever meet somebody that makes golf courses? I met a man that makes golf courses. He helped make the one in Greystones. Do you know what he told me? It takes 1 million euro to make one hole on a golf course. It's like 1 million euro. What are you talking about? He says, you ever try move a mountain? Do you ever try move land? Do you ever try to create something like a mountain that wasn't there and you have to move all the diggers, all the big earth moving things? That's what it would take to move a forest, wouldn't it? But if you had it in seed form, you could plant a forest here. If it took root, you could see a forest tomorrow. It's the same thing with our lives and our tomorrows. That in the negative, that if we allow things that rob us of our faith, rob us of our inheritance, that if we don't catch them in the nick of time as a seed, when it becomes a forest, there's a lot more work to get it out, isn't it? There's a lot more work to get doubt out and fear out and shame out when we've allowed that tree to take. That's why Paul says, take every thought captive, every seedling, everything that could rob you of your future, take that captive, because if that grows into a tree and it grows into a forest, you ain't moving that in a hurry. Now say the same in the positive. If we take those seeds and we plant them into our tomorrows, and that we plant the seeds of who we are, what we're called to, who God is in it. If we plant them now, that when they become a tree, your enemy won't be able to move them easy. Your own heart won't be able to move it easy. That we give this blessing of God, the ecclesia. Why does God want this? Because he wants to display. And listen to this, Ezekiel. That when you have them trees grown in our, when we have those trees grown in our lives, this is where he says, your leaves will become healing to the nations. The enemy also comes in to try to rob our seed. That's why Jesus talks about the seed. Worries come in to rob it at the seed. Life's problems come in to rob it at the seed. But if we protect it, we nurture him. We declare that the fowl of the earth is not getting that seed. We declare that woodies is not getting that seed, that weeds is not going to choke that seed, that this is good soil, what God has done. He's made us good soil for his promises to be yes and amen. And then we go, Lord, would you grow this into a forest? And as it grows into a forest, many will take shelter under your forest. And your leaves of your trees will be healing to the nations. Let's stand. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are part of the called out ones, the congregation of God, the blessed ones, the chosen ones, the ones who are jam-packed full of inheritance. And you may have faced a battle. I'll be facing a battle for your faith and for the promises of God. Part of the blessing, we heard already, that his grace is sufficient for you. How do I activate that? I stand in it and declare it over my life. I'm declaring what comes out releases the grace that is needed for the moment. I pray, Father, right now, that each one would know one thing. That we are called to from something to someone, and from that someone to someone's. And that every one of us have a part to play. And every one of us is important. And every part of the loaf of bread is important. And every one of the sheep is important. And every part of the body is important. And every part of those who do the work to see the glory of God manifested in there, everyone is important, Lord. You have something for everyone. And I pray, Lord God, that we would know it, that we'd have understanding and revelation of that this week, Lord. Or those who know, Lord God, that you would breathe upon it and go, yes, son, yes, daughter, you remember I said that to you. Lord, I pray you would teach us, the ecclesia, how to activate the blessings that is already ours. And that, Lord, that you would sustain us and you would use the blessings activated to sustain us in the battle. And I declare victory over your people, Lord. I declare strength for the battle weary. I ask you to pour out water, Lord. Father, upon those who are thirsty from the battle, Lord. Those who have wounds from the battle. Holy Spirit, would you come with that balm? Would you come with that healing oil? Would you come with that, Lord God, that only you can come with, Lord, to make us well again, oh God, to be able to rise up, oh God, to get above our circumstances, oh God, to reach out to you in a way, Lord, to hear you in a way, Lord, to see you in a way that has been blurred over these last few months and years, oh God. Father, would you bring the Ecclesia into a new day, a crossing over of the Jordan, Lord, into a place where we can see the promised land, Lord, further away from Egypt and closer to the promised land, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would show us in your word, Lord, everything that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I declare that each one would be a forester. I don't want a tree, I want a forest. I want a forest. There's a forest in each one of us. You're called oaks of righteousness, and every oak there's a forest. And I declare that you would plant, and that you would sow, and that you would reap, and that you would see the goodness of God in the land of the living over your life, over your children's life, their life, and everyone around you in Jesus' name. Would you put your hand on a tree beside you? That was funny. Just pray your blessing on them. Pray your blessing. God has called us to be priests. Priests are the ones who declare blessings. Let them hear you. I can't even hear you. Come on. Out of our mouth, let it activate the grace. Just keep believing. Keep pushing through. Keep pressing on. He always brings his ecclesia through. They tried to wipe out his ecclesia. You can't wipe out the seed of God. You won't go under. You won't go under. You won't go under. Tell them they won't go under. Tell them this won't take them out. Tell them God is on their side, that God is with us, that God is for us, that there's a brighter day, not just a brighter day, that you might only see saplings right now, but they are going to turn into a forest, that you're going to see many blessed, many will take shelter, your leaves will be healing, and even the trees in the fields will clap their hands, that God is for you, he's on your side. I pray, Father, you would manifest your glory in the ecclesia, that is liberty and pray, Father, and every other called out one, Lord, in this town, oh God, that you'd call them out, Lord, you'd call them into yourself, Father, and that you would send us out afresh, Lord. We just declare over each of our lives, Lord, over this church, over this part of the ecclesia, that God does bless you, and God does keep you, and God does cause his face to shine upon you, and God does lift his countenance upon you, and God does grant you shalom.